We talk about all kinds of health issues here on Nights, and tonight we're going to be fair. We're going to put a focus on women's reproductive health. Abnormal bleeding. It affects thousands of Aussie women. It can be quite frightening. And one in three will be impacted by it at some point in their life. And although it's an issue commonly faced by women approaching menopause, it can strike at any time. So to find out more, I'm joined by Dr. Sulin Lai-Smith, a specialist obstetrician and gynecologist at the SAN. Sulin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for your time tonight. It's really exciting to be able to be here and talk about this topic, which is obviously very close and dear to my heart.
Well, an abnormal bleeding can happen at any time, particularly around menopause, but it isn't strictly limited to that. So what age groups are most affected?
Absolutely. So look, when we talk about, I guess, abnormal bleeding through the ages, it can be anyone. And you're quite right. Most of the time we always focus on that perimenopause and menopausal period, but that is more when we're looking, I guess, at bleeding causes that may be potentially in serious nature, you know, like a pre-malignancy or a cancer. But bleeding in itself can actually affect, I guess, the quality of life and have a large impact on women regardless of their age. So, you know, if we were trying to, I guess, think about, well, how would you classify and break it down into different groups? If you think about teenagers, you know, as one group, maybe your 20s to 40s is another group. Then there's obviously the perimenopausal women, you know, in that lead up in the year or two before menopause. And then there's the postmenopausal woman. For that younger age group, for example, if we go back to the teenagers, they can often have very heavy and irregular periods. And it's quite common. And a lot of teenagers have terrible quality of life, missing school, missing sport, in so much pain that they can't go to school, you know. And it's not something that, I guess, should be ignored or be accepted as a rite of passage. There are actually lots of options out there to help teenagers overcome these terrible symptoms.
And at other ages, what are the most likely causes, or is it really broad-ranging?
Well, I guess if you wanted to look at the most common causes for the different age brackets, you know, for teenagers it's often not ovulating. So for the first couple of years after they start their periods, there's a bit of maturing that needs to happen with the signals that go from their brain to their ovaries. It's called the HPO, or the hypothalamic pituitary ovarian axis, and it takes time to mature. And often for the first, you know, couple of years, they won't actually be ovulating and releasing eggs, which can then affect how heavy their bleeding will be when it's quite irregular. Some of the other causes, I guess, can be endocrine. So they can be hormonal causes, which might be a thyroid problem. It could be having too much prolactin. It could be something also called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that's one of those things that we're seeing earlier and earlier, and also can affect women actually of all ages, all the way up till menopause. And that's when there is obviously a bit of an imbalance in those hormones, and they can often get too much of one, usually testosterone, that then can cause, you know, irregular cycles, heavy bleeding, painful bleeding, and other symptoms as well that can affect their overall health, like metabolic conditions. So I guess that's the younger age group. In the 20s to 40s, you often have more structural causes that start to declare themselves. So things like polyps or fibroids, they're just growths of tissue that can often occur. Polyps are soft tissue growth. Fibroids are usually like a hard tissue growth. And something called adenomyosis. And I'm not sure if you've heard of adenomyosis before, but it's the sister to endometriosis. And it's something that can cause very heavy, painful bleeding for women. And it's treatable. Like there are options that we have for women. So it's, you know, again, something that they shouldn't have to suffer with. So all of those other hormonal causes that I talked about for teenagers, they can also affect women in their 20s to 40s, like the polycystic ovarian syndrome and thyroid disease. And then I guess there are other rarer, you know, less common causes, things like an inflammation of the cervix or an infection or something like that.
And as I said, at certain times of your life, it can be very alarming and certainly unexpected. What are some of the initial warning signs a woman should look out for?
So it's usually those very serious causes of when we age, when we get a bit older. So perimenopausal women or postmenopausal women is when they can have quite heavy bleeding or irregular bleeding that may be because of an abnormal cause. And that would often be, you know, having bleeding after intercourse, having bleeding in between their periods, or having bleeding that just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier and doesn't stop. And, you know, the way, I guess, that we would investigate that is with an ultrasound to begin with. And sometimes we do some blood tests as well. And, you know, depending, I guess, what the cause is, we'll determine then what the right treatment would be. The red flags, I guess, for those women that are perimenopausal or you know, postmenopausal is, if they never had bleeding after they went through menopause and then all of a sudden 1 or 2 years later they start having bleeding, that's something that's very concerning. And they should definitely be seeing their GP because, you know, 10 to 20% of those women will end up having hyperplasia or cancer of their uterus if they have bleeding after menopause. So very important to address.
Yeah, address it as quickly as possible. And what's involved in getting a diagnosis? I think some women are probably a little bit hesitant because some of the analysis or the scoping, the testing can be very invasive. So, but you've just got to get proper diagnosis, haven't you? It's very important.
Absolutely. And I guess when we talk about, you know, investigating polyps or fibroids or any of those things, that's often most done with an ultrasound. And, you know, they can do it in two ways where they actually scan on the tummy. The most, I guess, accurate way for a woman and looking at the you know, fertility organs is unfortunately a transvaginal scan, which does involve a probe going into the vagina. But the imaging that we get from that and the clarity and the pictures that we see are far superior to just doing it through the tummy. So, you know, if women can tolerate that, it does give better information and it makes it easier for their doctor to manage exactly what's going on. The other things, I guess, is, you know, your screening programs are super important because, you know, all women from, you know, the age of their mid-20s, if they're sexually active, should be having cervical screening tests. And, you know, they've now got the option of a self-collect for women. So if they find that having a speculum examination is too uncomfortable for them to do, you know, with their GP or their gynecologist, then they can actually opt to do it themselves by putting, you know, the swab inside their own vagina. So that removes, I guess, a barrier that some women who wouldn't have felt comfortable having screening before can now access. And then, you know, you talk about, I guess, some of the more invasive investigations. I try to give an analogy to women that if they, for example, had irregular bleeding from their bottom, you know, and they had rectal bleeding, you know, you'd definitely be going and seeing your GP and they'd be, okay, we might get a colonoscopy for you if you're a certain age. And it's the way that we would investigate abnormal bleeding inside the uterus is kind of similar to a colonoscopy. Day surgery procedure, put a little camera up inside the uterus. If there are any polyps or abnormal tissue, we remove it and then we send it off for analysis. And it's kind of like the same process of a, not exactly, but it's, you know, people would go and have a colonoscopy really regularly to make sure that their bowel health is, you know, optimal, and particularly if they're having any symptoms. And so if they are having abnormal bleeding, particularly in that perimenopausal or menopausal period, then they should be having investigations in the same way.
And of course, the advice to anyone who's concerned about all that is the alternative could be a heck of a lot worse. So if anyone's listening at home and they have these symptoms, what's the next step, Doctor?
So definitely contact your GP. You know, that is the first step. And they will ask you a history. They may ask to do a speculum examination and a pap smear if you're overdue or if you're due for a pap smear. If they see anything abnormal, so if they see any abnormal lesions, you know, sometimes bleeding's not from high up. It might actually be from the cervix or from the vagina or even from the vulva on the outside. And if they see that, then they'll ask you to go and see a gynecologist for, you know, a biopsy of that tissue just to find out what's going on. Otherwise, if they're thinking, well, this bleeding could be because of an endocrine cause or a hormonal issue, they might order some blood tests. You know, we always get pelvic ultrasounds for these things when you've got abnormal bleeding, because we need to make sure that there's nothing structural or abnormal inside the uterus, or a thickened lining called hyperplasia. That's a thing that I guess we really have to focus on for that, you know, perimenopausal, postmenopausal women group, because, you know, the rates of endometrial cancer have doubled in the last 20 years. And so it is one of those things that is increasing in frequency as we're getting older, we're getting heavier and weighing more. A lot of more people are now having diagnoses of diabetes, and we might have had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And some medications like tamoxifen that women might be on for, say, a breast cancer treatment, can increase all of those risks of, you know, having a thickened lining inside that uterus, which can then potentially turn into something serious.
So don't leave it too late to find out just what's going on.
Absolutely not.
Dr. Sue Lynn Lysmith, thank you very much for your time.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.